Okay, I want to get right into this tonight. I hope you have your Bible. You need to keep a Bible. You need to have something where you can write in, where you can reference, where you get comfortable with a Bible. If you don't have one, we will give you one here. If you don't like that, go spend money and buy one. Does everybody hear me now? I felt just that prompting to do that. Sometimes I do it on the Thursday night. This is kind of what we do. You gotta have the Word of God. You have to read it. You have to keep it with you. It'll keep you free. It'll keep you full. It'll keep you on track. And you can't just pick it up when you feel like it. And we put the scriptures up on the screen, and that's great. But you can't take the screens down with you when you leave. You gotta have it in your heart. So tonight, I'll give you a pass, but I want to see you carrying your Bible with you. And if you don't use a Bible, use an iPad, fine. Use your phone, five. I don't get hung up on that. But get used to whatever you read so you know where to go and find it, okay? So why do we baptize? What's the word means? It's a Greek word, baptismo. It means to plunge. It means to immerse. That's why we do immersion. That's what this tank is here for, because the Bible says to be immersed. And I'm going to read you some scripture, and maybe you'll get a little bit more of a sense, and you won't gain everything that you're going to experience tonight in the few minutes that we're here, but you get a deeper and a greater understanding. And if you want these notes that I'm using tonight, if you'll email me, onecity@aol.com. I've had the same email for 24 years. That's my personal. You email me, I'll send them to you. You can have them. So that's why we baptize. It's immersion. It's not sprinkle. It's not touching you, it's immersion. Who should be baptized? Those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I love this scripture. I was going to just read, you know, certain small portions of it, but when I begin to study it, it's just so exciting in Acts chapter 2. And this is why you need to have the Word, because this scripture here, these words, these will empower your life. If you read this, this will get inside of you and change who you are. This is the power of the gospel. Acts 2:36. I'm going to read a few verses. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, they're feeling bad. They're feeling convicted. Peter had preached to them. This is what he said. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Now listen to this and look at this. Then if you had your Bible, you underline this, you'd read this, power would come into your life. He said, verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." That was a baptismal service. And they, here's the word here. I want you to get this. I'm going to have you memorize this. You ready to memorize scripture? They continued steadfastly. It's not just a one experience deal. They continued. Everybody say the word continued. Come on, everybody say it. You're not exempt from nothing. Say the word continued. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, in prayers, and look what happened. Fear came upon every soul, and wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. This is so incredible. I love this. Acts chapter 8. I just love reading this because the Word of God will speak to you. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. He said, "There was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God. Look at that. A sorcerer, somebody who is using demonic powers to make themselves look great. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Verse 11, and they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, look at that word, as he preached. Let me tell you something. I'm all for, I like smoke, I like lights, I like everything. But nothing changes humanity like the word when it's preached. Nothing. They believe Philip as he preached because there is an anointing on the word of God that when it comes out of a person's mouth, it leaves your mouth from a carnal state, and as it travels to the ear of the individual that's hearing it, the Bible says, the word of the Lord will go forth and it will not return void. Something happens from here to your ears. It's met with the anointing and the power of Jesus that changes and transforms lives. Well, they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Simon himself also believed. Oh, Simon the sorcerer. Simon, he also believed the power of Jesus will break every demonic hold on every individual. And when he had baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing miracles and signs which were done. Wow. You talk about a revival happening. Listen to this, Acts 8:34. And the eunuch, this is one of my favorite scriptures about water baptism. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, here it is again, preached Jesus to him. Woo! I love that. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, water, what hinders me from being baptized? Now, just because there was water, and just because everybody else may have seen doing it, was not enough. Look at what Philip said. Here's the prerequisite for water baptism. Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. Believe in what? Believe in the Lord. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Come on tonight. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. That's powerful. If I don't come up out of the water on Sunday, you just know God caught me away somewhere. I don't know where he'll take me, but if I'm not here, don't worry. They saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found in Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. That's so incredible. Philip is leading this guy to the Lord. He's baptizing him. The eunuch comes out of the water. Philip's gone. God transports him. I wish I could travel like that. Just blink and there I am. And he just starts preaching again. Preaching the word. All you young preachers in here, preach the word. Preach the word. Acts 10:44. I love it. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many came with Peter because the gift of the Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. That's why I tell you, here people had an experience with God speaking in other tongues, but they had not been water baptized. And the Bible says he commanded them. And they stayed. They were baptized again. So should... Do you get that? Isn't the word of God powerful? I said, isn't the word of God powerful? You have to be turned on by this. Why should a believer be baptized? Because it is a commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew 28 and verse 19, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If a new Christian, if somebody who has received Christ and does not make the decision to be water baptized, that is a willful decision not to obey the Lord. And it'll stifle your walk and your growth with God. Number three, does baptism have anything to do with salvation? And I love these scriptures here. And we read in the book of Acts where you must be saved before you're water baptized. But listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. I love the analogy that he gives in this, speaking, referring back into an Old Testament story about Noah and his family being saved through water. And then he goes on in verse 21 and he says, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. See, if you had your Bible with you, you'd underline that, you'd circle that. Right there, that would perplex you. I've looked at that, and that has charged my batteries for years. This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Wait a minute, I thought you said before you have to be saved before you get baptized. Yes, I am. Let's read on. He goes on, he says, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge. And I like how the New International Version, the New King James, or the King James, a little hard to comprehend. But he says, not the removal of the dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Him. Through the power of God, the power of the resurrected Christ saves you. When you are water baptized, it symbolizes your heart to identify with who Jesus is. Baptism does not save us by washing away our sin. Only the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary can do that. But obedience in baptism saves us from a guilty conscience. Listen, I'm going to read a couple more verses. Number four, baptism identifies us with Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Look at the reference that he's making here. There's so much I want to say, but I'm very respectful of the time. Who has the authority to baptize? Jesus commissions his disciples to do this. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. I like this. Baptism is not required for any type of membership or identity in the church. If you're not baptized or you are baptized, it doesn't change. Baptism does not save you. It's an act of obedience to the Lord. Does everybody understand that? Even those who have been baptized before. Baptism is an act of obedience. We live to obey God. We do what he tells us to do. And when we live and do what he tells us to do, when we identify with who he is, we have a desire to live like he's called us to live. And he empowers us to do that very thing. Because Ephesians 1:22 says, Jesus Christ, he is head over all of the church. There's two ordinances that God commands. And that one of them is baptism and the other one is the Lord's Supper, sharing the table of the Lord together. The symbolism of baptism, because the believer is totally immersed in the water, this action becomes a picture, a portrait of the death, of the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's a picture of the old life being gone and a new life coming. Romans 6:3, or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? who were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Here's another picture. Matthew 3, verse 13. Jesus came from Galilee. Look, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was water baptized. If you're here, and I hope people are here on Sunday that just get up out of their seat and decide to obey God. It says, verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he got up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened over his life. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. I've seen it, I mean, many times before. When people go into that tank of water in the baptism of the Lord, that when they come out of that and their heart is to serve God, there is a power that comes on and over their life like they've never had before. Listen to this. Colossians 2, 12, 13, 14, and 15. This is powerful. If you had your Bible, you would be underlining this, circling this, making notes. You'd be putting tonight's date next to it. You'd be putting my name in there. Pastor Marty, May 4th. It's 8:04. I'm almost done. Listen to this. Colossians 2, 12. Having been buried with him in baptism. Buried with him. In which you were also raised with him. He didn't leave you down. I've never left anybody underwater. Thought of it a couple times, never have. He says, having been buried with him and baptized in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God. Remember what I just told you? When you have an expectancy and you connect with God and you lift your faith to a whole nother level, that something is going to transpire in your life. He says, you were raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead, listen, when you were dead, not even dabbling, you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sin. Come on, you ought to clap on that one right now. Come on. He forgave us all our sin. Do we take that lightly anymore as Christians? Do we just take that as a given? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, okay, sirrah, sirrah. You know, what time is this? I got to hurry up. You know, I got this waiting. I got to go here or there. Jesus forgave us of all of our sin. Jesus forgave you of your brokenness, of your mess up. He forgave you. Listen, verse 14, having canceled the charge, I like how the New International says it, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away. Thank you, God. I wish I had somebody to just get up and jump and shout at me sometime when I read like this. This is incredible. Canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away. He nailed it to the cross. He disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hallelujah. Come on, let's clap our hands for Jesus tonight. Thank you, Lord. Wow. I think I got born again. He took away all that junk. You have no one to stand and condemn you and point finger at you. Jesus, if you believe in him, if you made him the Lord and the master of your life, if by faith you accepted him into your heart as your Lord and your Savior, and you're beginning to walk with him and live for him and act like he wants you to act, you will have the confidence living inside of you and bubbling up over in you, because you are not who you were. You are not what you will be, but you're farther, farther, farther along beyond anything that you ever thought you could be. Lenny talking to me when he came in today. Lenny, South Byron guy. Well, I'm not going to China. Maybe I'm not supposed to say this. It fits with my message, Lenny. You'll have to get over it if you get mad. Oh, we're going to, looks like we may go to California. I'm standing there thinking, you and I going anywhere. When we were kids, if we went to Batavia, that was going to the big city. You know why God did that? Because he forgave Leonard Brill of all of his sin. And he has opened up his life. And not only for him, but for his whole family. Praise be to God. And that's what Jesus does for you and I. And when we obey him in the waters of baptism, he transforms our life. Last point, should I be baptized more than once? Only if you, when you were baptized before, that it meant nothing to you. And I pray that this experience for you will mean the world to you. It will transform and change your life like nothing else could. I could go on for a long time. I want to just close on this. For if you're being baptized, you're here tonight, invite your families. Invite your friends, call people, tell them, make an event out of it, maybe plan dinner or something afterwards. Do something great. Bring a change of clothes with you. Ladies, men alike, bring dark clothes. Don't be bringing any, don't be wearing spandex, or don't be bringing your two-piece bathing suit. I don't care how good you look in it, don't do it. That goes for you guys too. Bring your towel. Bring a change of clothes. The service will start, and we'll tell you when. We'll have people out here. They'll tell you where to give you a place where you can all go, separate places to change, and then they'll lead you out here, and we'll start. We'll baptize you right during the service. It'll be great. You'll be in. You'll be out. It'll be a blessing in your life, and God will work a great thing in your life. Does anybody have a question that they want to ask? I know I piled drive through this hard and fast. Come on, how did I do tonight? Was that okay? Anybody have a question? If you do, and you're nervous or you're worried about it, call the office tomorrow. You can call, ask for Kathy, hit up Chris. Ryan will be around somewhere. Ask him. We'll help you. We'll do anything we can for you. It'll be a great time together. Listen, I sense so much in my heart. Get God's word in you constantly. Let it be a cornerstone in your life. Don't let other things cause you to drift off. Nothing will change your life like the power of God's word working in your heart and in your life. Amen? Lord, I just thank you for what you have done in this house tonight. And Lord, every life that has been touched and encouraged and built up, I pray, Lord, your blessing upon families tonight that are here, the kids that are next door, upstairs. Lord, pour out great favor. Let this be a year that we will never forget because of the greatness and the goodness of our God. I pray that you will bring answers, the prayers that have been prayed. Lord, supernaturally, I pray that they will come to pass in many people's lives. I pray for strength. I pray for healing over those that are sick. And Lord, even those that are in the house who have friends or relatives who are struggling in sickness of any kind, I pray healing over their lives tonight. We give you glory. We give you the honor for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, and everybody said amen. I love you so much. Come on. Bless somebody before you leave tonight. You got any questions? I'll hang out here. You want to ask me anything? Come on down, I'll answer it, okay? I love you.